Welcome to What Makes the Cut. This is a movie review podcast where we decide if this movie should be shot to space, put on the golden disc, or fucked off into oblivion. We sat down and watched a movie today. Last night.
Actually. Yeah, last night. Oh, it was for me.
What did we sit down and watch, Josh?
Triple R or RRR. Rise, Roar, Redemption? Revenge.
Revolt.
Revolt. Yeah, it's cut off here for me. And
So this is an Indian movie. Would you classify it as Bollywood?
Yes, so it's Bollywood, Tollywood.
Okay.
I don't know what Tollywood is. I've only ever heard of Bollywood, but that it does fall into that category.
Okay, that's fair. Do you want to read out the synopsis?
It's very short. The story of freedom fighters, Komaram Bheem and Alluri Sitaramaraju.
Is that the movie you sat down and watched this week?
Not really.
No, because
they're not really freedom fighters at all.
No, not at all.
But I'm thinking maybe it's their historical figures and they've just made a movie about them. I've done no research.
Because of the end.
The reason why is because of the end.
Yeah, the end. Look.
We get into the genre and stuff?
Well,
Before we go on a tangent.
I just want to point out that this is a 3-hour long movie, so this episode might run a little long. But
hopefully they like us enough to forgive us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we have no cultural connection. So any of the cultural connections in this movie, like the ending song, I have no clue about it.
I think I only knew one.
Yeah, I didn't know any.
One. And that was when they were going through the people and they said the Punjabi. That was the only one. I was like, I've seen that guy before.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Give me the genre.
It's an action drama, which is correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Original legally is Telugu, but we had to watch it in Hindi because we watched it on Netflix. So it was translated into
That's my
Hindi.
Second point.
Director is S.S. Rajamouli. Producer, D.V.V. Danaya. Writer was S.S. Rajamouli and Sai Madhavbura. This came out March 25, 2022.
My birthday.
Oh, it is. Happy birthday for that day.
It's my birthday this year.
Always bothered me when people are like, oh, what'd you do over the weekend? It's like, oh, it's my birthday. Oh, happy birthday. It's gone. You missed your chance,
man. Yeah, I know, right?
You missed your chance.
It was on the weekend.
It was Saturday when I didn't see you. You should have wished me happy birthday then.
You should have knocked on my fucking window, woken me up and said happy birthday and then gone home.
Now, this is something I'm impressed with. Now, someone mentioned... I don't know if it was a YouTube video or not, but I remember hearing that a lot of Bollywood, Tollywood films almost always make their money back. $72 million US dollars.
Oh, fucking big budget. Very big budget.
It made $160 million. It doubled.
Very big gross. Very big gross.
Like, and just so everyone knows, we're only doing Ryan's talking points today.
Some of them
I agree with because I was like, oh, I'll put this. I didn't want to double up. Mm-hmm, and I was like, all right, I'll read through. I'm like, yeah. He's got two points. That's enough for me because he's...
Look, so we usually...
He went on a rampage.
You know, we usually sit down and go, all right, we'll write about 3 talking points each and I'll usually write them at the end of the movie. I got 40 minutes into the movie and was like, nah, can't do that. I've got to like essentially live tweet this in the Google Doc. My first talking point. It's a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, which we did have the discussion when I saw it was 3-hour movie. Yeah. I had a big week at work. I was super exhausted. I was having a little bitch fit at Ryan saying, I can't do this. He's like, do you want to change it? I was like, I'm mulliganing it. And then my wife said, just watch it. Like, it's 3 hours. It's either you're going to watch this movie for 3 hours or you're going to play video games for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go to bed at the same time either way. Just watch the movie instead. So I did.
That's fair.
I personally think I chose a bad time to watch it. It was late at night.
Oh, I picked a fucking bad time. I was 40 minutes in when you sent me that message. And I was like, I didn't know it was a 3-hour movie. So I started at like, what, 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a long movie. It's a very long movie.
I personally think that the three-hour runtime is a bit long, and there were moments where they could have ended it. Mm. But it was a fun movie for a 3-hour long movie.
Oh, I think this director hasn't heard of the term sequel. Because an hour and a half into the movie, it's the end of a movie.
Yeah.
It's and then the it end of a movie. And then, yeah, and then it literally just picks up again like a sequel. But we'll start from the beginning because, again, it's a 3-hour movie. So let's start somewhere.
Somewhere.
It's not in my talking points, but what did you think of the story, the fire, and the water? Which is the first 40 minutes of the movie.
I liked it.
You liked it?
I was like, oh, this doesn't make sense. But the fire, I was like, that's wicked. The water, wicked. When they were introducing the primary characters.
So they're introducing the eternal conflict of fire and water, which is Ram and Bheem, respectively. I can't remember what the story was.
Neither can I.
Because that was the very opening of the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the little girl. It says the story shows the little girl with the thingy, and then it goes to fire.
She gets taken, and then it's Ram, and he's like
beaten. He whoops the shit out of people.
This movie's in the MCU, right? Because they're fucking superhuman. I don't watch a lot of Hindi movies.
That's the thing about why I saw this on a YouTube channel. They were reviewing the CGI.
Right.
And that's what made me go, I want to watch this movie, but I now have some sort of outlet to talk about it. Yep. That's why I mentioned it.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to watch a movie that's, didn't know it was 3 hours fucking long, but if I was going to watch a movie I wouldn't normally watch and I want to share it with people, I would use our platform.
No, fucking oath.
And they show that first scene, and they also mention that in Bollywood movies, they show a few other scenes from Bollywood movies. They're fantastical. They're over-exaggerations.
Yeah, you always see it on like 9gag of like excerpts from like Indian movies.
Like the one where they like huddle up in a shield and launch themselves in a catapult. It's fantastical retellings of stories telling of a story. And it's so fantastic. I'm amazed I made it through the 3 hours.
Same. I was so ready to give up at like hour and a half.
At certain points I was like, this is where I fall asleep. And then something comes and kicks in.
Yeah,
it's a very fun movie. It draws you in at certain moments and keeps you there.
Yeah.
And then other moments...
It slops. So my second point is this whole movie ADR?
Yeah, and as I... And
yeah, I did know it was originally in a different language and then translated to Hindi.
I think...
And we're watching subtitles as well.
Yeah, I think Telugu is... I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. I don't know how to properly pronounce it. It's like... I call it Tagalog. It's a Tagalog.
Fucking what?
Native language of Philippines.
Gotcha.
Tagalog, but I call it Tagalong.
Dominic Perry shoes.
Apart from the English, because you can tell that their mouths match up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does feel like they're the right words just dubbed over.
Yeah, even the English, which is a good part of the first hour and a half, because this movie takes place during the British invasion of India.
I'd say occupation.
Occupation. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. This, like, even the English sounds like they had the actors re-record the lines. But just because the mic in the room didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they had a boom mic. And there are a lot of extras in this movie.
A lot.
And
every scene is fucking littered with people.
It's a sea of people, which again, India, that's fine. But for a budget, I want to know if they were paying those extras fairly.
So the scene where we first see Ram, a good portion of them were extras. But as you get closer to the camera and further out, they were CGI. Because there's no point in having quarter of a billion people. It was really just mainly around the fence so they could have the interaction of the fence. There is a lot of CGI in this. A lot. Every animal that isn't directly interacting with a human being is CGI, such as horses. If they're riding
if they're riding a horse, it's a horse.
Any dead animal, CGI. Not even a fake CGI.
Yeah, there is a lot of CGI in this movie.
They don't... Tamara watched the first part with me. She watched just past water where we see Bheem. And she was like, that tiger is CGI.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. But then when you had that close up, she's like, holy fuck, that looks good.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking good CGI.
Looked good.
It's
certain parts of it, you go,
Like there's a couple of parts where in that opening scene for Water, he's like caught the tiger in a trap and he's like Spider-Maning.
Yeah, he's pulling two ropes towards himself, doing some lat pulls, showing off them. Fuck their rift.
Fucking oath, eh? Fucking oath.
Anyway, yeah, he's pulling those things together.
He's pulling them together, trying to hook them together to like capture the tiger. And there's like, it's jumping up at him and slashing his chest and stuff. And even that, like, the tigers looked good.
Looked so good.
Looked so good.
Like, I think the worst part was where he does the swing and does like a 90, he hits the swing. Because of the VR watch where they talk about the CGI, they do a body replace there. I don't know why. I don't understand what that is exactly. I just know that he becomes CGI. Mm. But at that point, you could tell the tiger was CGI because it was close up and it was moving.
A lot of slow-mo scenes too that it becomes very apparent. Yeah. But if you just take 2 seconds to switch that off in your brain, you...
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. It's so good.
I'm gonna preface, I'm not gonna say this whole thing, but how long till the title screen, Ryan?
40 minutes and we finally get a title screen.
And you get it with a mad fucking bro handshake.
Oh yeah, that's fair. And then you have a friend montage.
Yeah.
And then you have an awesome friend montage.
Yeah.
Where I stopped, so a lot of these I've written the lyrics.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, 43 minutes, 21 seconds. Song lyrics are explaining the fucking movie.
A lot of the songs do.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Well, like in this movie, all the songs do. But it was like, will their rivalry ever come to the forefront? Walking the same path, but searching for different things. Won't this friendship break one day in the form of betrayal? It's like, that's not foreshadowing. That's like putting a pie in your face.
That's telling. then he says, I'm going to stop writing the lyrics. Sorry, future. Yeah.
I can't do this.
I was like, oh, he wants to talk about, because I obviously don't know the I'm like, oh, he wants to talk about the lyrics and like what they mean or something like that. No, he just wanted to mention them.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to stop writing lyrics.
Oh, your next point?
Yes. There's a scene in this Fred montage where Ram is on a horse and he's using horses throughout the movie, and Beam is on a motorbike
and he uses motorbikes throughout the movie.
They're riding together and like racing each other. Is that motorbike not faster than a fucking horse?
So let's say it was based around the British occupation of India. Mm. Motorbikes aren't as fast as the bikes we have today,
but still,
the max running speed of a horse is 88 kilometers an hour.
Okay, that's fair.
But I'm going to say that bike in that distance could have at least gotten to 90. That was a long bridge and they were on there a while.
Like
But then again, they could do that whole fucking thing where it's like actually they're going back further than they really are, but the bike would have gotten to center beforehand. Unless he's a slow shifter and he sits in second for a long fucking time.
Well, again, he's also a tribal native.
Yeah.
And this is one of his first times riding a bike, I'm guessing?
No, I don't think he's like... I think they go into the town and stuff. They go into Delhi because he just assimilated very well. And they said it was 6 months.
Oh, okay.
There was like a six-month period.
That's fair.
But what I do... I want to talk about that. The guy who grew up in the city or who had been in the city longer, I think they preface he's been there for about 14 years or something like that.
Mm.
He rides a horse, which is very natural.
Yeah.
The other guy who's a native rides a motorbike, which is very colonized.
Yeah,
the dude who is a police officer.
Yeah,
it's like the half of both worlds. And even later in the movie, they both again ride a horse or a motorbike, respectively. Yeah. And I liked that. It didn't pop into my head until later. I'm like, wait, he's the police officer who grew up in Delhi. He's riding a horse. That's like very natural, very native.
But we see later on he didn't grow up in Delhi.
He grew up kind of tribal-ish, but not in the forest tribe. Yeah, more of a small village and with guns.
Yeah. Fuck that scene. And then, so we have Beam falling in love with an English woman, which also, I should preface, we are both white-skinned. I felt very uncomfortable watching this movie.
Why?
It's like, if you have white skin, you're evil.
Yeah. Well, look.
I mean,
they didn't fucking sugarcoat things.
No.
There's a scene where Beam, a British guy comes with his motorbike. He says, "It's not starting. I'm kicking. And it's not starting. What the fuck? You didn't fix it." And then Beam looks over. Motorbikes have this little thing where you can turn it to reserve, and it like uses the absolute bottom of your tank. So if you're out of fuel, Beam just looks over and he goes, "Oh, it's on reserve." Turns it to open.
Yeah.
And he says, "It was on reserve, sir." That guy mustn't speak in our Hindu.
Yeah.
So he loses his shit and starts beating him, saying, "Oh, what's the trick? What did you do? You took something out."
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any of these people are fucking, you know, good.
No. I'm just
obviously, they're being portrayed as evil. Yeah, and obviously, that's what it was like.
And then they have this one person, we'll call them the angel, who's like, they're human beings. And that's her. Yeah, why are you treating them this way?
Honestly, even then, like a little bit through the movie, more and more we see her, she's portrayed as this good character that's like, you know, she's seeing everyone as human.
Yeah.
No matter the color of their skin, no matter where they come from. But if you look at her actions, she's a fucking bitch too. She brings Beam in and is continually speaking to him about, "Oh, look at my fancy house. Look at my paintings. This is my room. I love all this stuff." And she's expecting him to understand. And he's just like, I don't know what you're saying.
I don't understand you either.
And it's that thing of like, I get that she was meant to be like the guardian angel, the saving grace. And, you know, not everyone's bad.
The deus ex machina for pretty the story.
Pretty much. Oh, fucking earth. But I feel like she, as a human, the writing of her, she's still a fucking bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're going to be, like, I'm sure it's a different time, but if you're going to be her nice, lovely, caring person, learn the language.
Absolutely learn the language.
I've said this, I got this from an old person.
Mm.
They said to me, they were Assyrian, I believe. They said that when they moved to Australia, the first thing they did was learn English because it's the primary language here. They're not good. They don't understand how we have one word that means multiple things. Like, she'll say there's a stain on the floor. And I'll be like, "Oh, yeah, I'll clean that Mark up for you." She's like, "Who's Mark?"
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. She doesn't get colloquialisms. Yeah. And I was teaching her those. Lovely lady.
Like bear and bear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, nah, well, nah, yeah.
That's a bit different than English.
Yeah.
We're Australian, so yeah, nah. Actually, for anyone listening, though, the one of you that's going to listen to this far into the podcast, when an Australian says yeah, nah, or nah, yeah, just listen to the last word. Yeah, nah means I hear what you're saying, but no. And nah, yeah means, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just listen to the last word.
Yeah. And if they go, yeah, nah, 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 yeah, 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 nah, nah, they're fucking with you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because we do it all the time.
Oh, yeah, nah, nah, yeah, nah.
If you're going to go somewhere, and I believe if I was going to move to Germany and live there,
you'd learn German.
I would learn German.
Yeah.
Because it's the primary language. Japanese,
absolutely.
Whatever. Yes, they speak English there and you can get by on it, but it's not their primary language.
No. And it's just the nice thing to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Again, how long was she there? How many times did she actually get out to the public? Well. But my next point was a fuck it. Like, I had to type this in all caps, 4 exclamation points, because I was not expecting this. Beam gets invited by this British girl to a party. And they're, you know, doing their ballroom dancing or whatever. Ram comes as a plus one, I guess. And Ram speaks English as well, so he's doing a lot of the translating when the three of them
half-assed translating too.
Absolutely,
she'll be like, "Oh, let's go this way." He's like, "Go with her."
Yeah,
he's not even saying, "Oh, she's," he's just like, "Go."
Yeah, because he's been a pro, he's been a good wingman. But they get into the scene. You have the shitty British dude that's trying to take.
Can
this,
you dance?
Yeah, he's showing all these different types of European tango, dance.
Swing,
flamenco.
It's like, fuck off, dude. Yeah, no one gives a shit.
I didn't actually write down what they called their dance style.
I don't know, but
it's the Bollywood dance style.
Fucking intense.
Like, it's intense. But I just typed in all caps, "Dance off."
Yeah.
Dance off. And then I started writing the lyrics to the song they were singing. dance as tangy as a piece of raw mango. Dance, dance, dance like the bite of a scorpion.
This is... When I was a kid, I used to say I would never watch a Bollywood movie because they're just dance movies.
Yeah.
But fuck me, was this fun to watch.
Oh, it was the...
The dance move...
Yeah.
They had a fairly simple dance move that was the primary dance move of the thing. Honestly, and they were really just kicking their leg in twice and then one big kick out.
I want to just... I don't know if it was adopted, if this is like a traditional dance. Again, no point of cultural context, but the sideway kick out leg is the Melbourne Shuffle.
Oh.
And later on in the thing, later on in the sequence when everyone's getting together and they're pretty much Dance Till You Drop, and it's the competition of Dance Till You Drop, essentially, they're doing like a low form of jump style.
Oh.
It's like very bassy, very heavy. Did white
people still jump style from...
I don't know.
We may have.
We did steal a lot of things.
We stole a lot of things. And not me and you. I just mean the white people. Yes,
the white people. Wow.
Yeah.
Getting existential on this. We're only 21 minutes in, Josh. We're halfway through my points.
I just want to get through
and this is your an talking hour into points. The movie.
Yeah. Because he's written these down in order because you lived them.
Yeah.
He was an hour and a half into this movie, yeah. And this next one, ooh, the fire and water, it all comes full circle.
And I still have an hour and 30 minutes left. Yeah, like at the end of that first hour and 30 minutes, it does feel like the end of a movie. It truly feels like the end of a movie. That's
where he gets captured?
No, that's later on.
The party. So
that's the next party that they have. And Beam is going, I'm going to go get Marley. Do you want to talk about the animals he brings? Fucking cunt brings a zoo with him.
He brings two I counted them. Yeah. I paused and counted. He brings two leopards. Yep. A tiger, a wolf.
No, three wolves.
Three wolves. Saw one. They must have been hidden.
Yeah.
Two fucking deer.
Yeah.
Two fucking stags.
Yeah.
There was... Oh, sorry, no, there's two tigers. The big tiger and a smaller tiger.
Yeah.
So many. And then he fights... we'll call him a big bad evil dude. He's not the big bad evil dude.
He's the dude that kicked him for having his motorcycle, like... fixed.
The guy locks the door, comes towards Beam. Puts Marley
behind the door. Yeah.
Beam grabs his arm and stabs it with a fucking antler.
No. Picks up his left arm, throws him overhead onto a stag that's running by.
Yes.
And the stag obviously like good freaking CGI, out. Freaks out, something's attached to his horn, so the stag is just going ballistic and you're hearing the bones crack. This movie's pretty brutal.
Oh.
This movie's very brutal, and so it only gets more brutal as it goes on.
I only saw the fire scene, the water scene, introducing the characters, and that scene.
Oh, is it for the VFX thing?
Yeah. I didn't even see the whole thing of them either. I just saw, look at this, and then a breakdown. Look at this, then a breakdown. I had no idea about the arm on an antler. I just saw the scene where they slam the fucking... They pull the thing off and then all the animals come out. Yeah. That's all I saw.
Mind you, he's like, so they get this truck in to the party and Beam is under the cover holding two torches to like fend off the lions and tigers. The tigers and wolves when they come out so that they disperse into the party and just start killing people.
Yeah.
And this point that I have, ooh, the fire and water, it comes full circle and I still have them. Hour 30, that is the end when Ram finally understands that Beam is the person he's been looking for, and they've like had this massive friendship, and they've got to he's got to betray Beam.
I think that would be pretty much just before the party. Ram get bit by a snake from one of Beam's cohorts.
He's interrogating one of Beam's brothers.
Ram goes looking for Beam to help him. You're like, you know, he's going to find his best friend. Hey, look, I'm dying. Help me. And it was a banded crate. Very venomous snake.
Yeah, which I don't understand how even the, like, the guy says, even the English don't have the antidote. And
native. Look, man, fantastical world, go with it.
That happens a lot in this movie.
Yeah. But he goes, finds Beam. Beam just, like, just misses him. Then he starts hearing a dinging noise, goes back, ends up saving him, takes off, I think, called a holy thread. And at that point, he's like, holy, the other guy had it.
Yeah,
he starts connecting the dots. And then Beam sits, you know, takes him back to his place, sits him on a bed, and then just opens up. So he's like, look, I have to go do this thing. You know, I'm so sorry. I wanted to open up to you, but I didn't want you to get hurt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the guy's in pain. He can't do anything. He's dying. Yeah,
but again, the sheer power of will.
Yeah, because, oh, he says you'll be fine within, what, the hour or something like that?
No, you'll be fine tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah. And, like, not even an hour later.
No, like half an hour later.
He's punching walls and shit, fucking going, oh, my best friend.
Yeah.
And then Q fight scene where he tries to arrest him and then...
Yeah, which, again...
Hour and a half in, they're holding a rope, the holy thread, fire, water, like CGI, almost touching.
That's the end of an act. So Beam gets captured.
That's end of movie one.
Yeah, that's the end of the first movie.
On to the sequel now.
So, the next point I have is the lashing scene. So Beam gets captured. Ram gets promoted to special officer, which is what he's been after the whole movie. And he's ordered to lash Beam, make him kneel in front of the, like, military dude and his wife.
Yeah.
Now, he's going at him with a normal whip, right? And he's not kneeling. And then the stand-in for the Queen.
Yeah.
Like, the British Queen throws him this fucking whip and it's like, try this. And I just wrote, lashing scene. Fuck me. This Queen bitch likes it super kinky. I bet that old fart has to really make her bleed. Because this new whip has, like, barbed wire through it.
Mm.
And it's a very, very hard scene. And, Beam essentially
sings
a lullaby. Ah, that's the scene. That's the scene.
He started singing. I was like, oh, cool. And then next thing I know, waking up to fuckers, like, going, I woke up to the end of the song where he's strung up.
Yeah.
And then they break the thing, he lands, and he's still standing a bit. And then the moment he hits the ground, revolt.
Yeah.
People lose shit.
I actually want to put a little more work into this episode for myself. I want to play a little excerpt of that song. Because it's a fucking beautiful song. This is a song at the start of the movie that Malay is singing. And it's kind of like...
It?
Yeah, so it's the song that she's singing. And the first time Beam finds Marley, it's a song he sings to calm her down. And it's also the song that he's singing to cause a revolt. Which, fuck me.
Ragaraga suri dai ragalali koduko ragalali koduko.
But we gotta skip over. So the next scene that I put a talking point on that says, doesn't matter what injury you have, sheer willpower makes you able to recover anything, is the scene where Ram realizes that, you know, his whole backstory is he's infiltrated the British government, become a special officer to get his home village weapons so that they can cause a revolution. And his father figure's dying word was, make sure you put a weapon in everyone's hand and make that promise. He makes that promise. And then when, after the lashing scene, when Beam is singing the song, he realized that Beam turned people's emotion into a weapon. So that's his new thing.
Beam is the weapon he needs.
Yeah, so he goes to essentially change Beam's hanging location so that he can help him and Marley escape. There is a scene when they're driving. He causes this, like, tree to fall on the king's car. Mind you, the king gets flipped out of the car and midair grabs his gun while he's got hang time, shoots the truck that Ram is driving. I was like, well, that's fuck cool.
Yeah.
So Ram goes flying out down into the forest and lands on a massive fuck-off spike straight into his side.
It's like a bit of a broken off... The tree's broken off a little bit and he gets stabbed in the lung.
That would kill a normal person.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, if you...
I'm not a doctor, but by the looks of it, it probably just punctured a lung.
Mate, it was like the size of my hand. It would go deep in you.
Yeah, not to heart, because it was in his back. That's what I'm saying. It would definitely puncture a lung. That's why when he was running, he coughed up blood.
But that would kill you.
Eventually, yeah. I'm agreeing with you, but it's not instant is what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. He wouldn't be there like, oh, I'm dead. What he did where he was like, right, he wouldn't make it to those guys. He would not be able to fight those guys.
No, God, no. So he lets Beam escape and is imprisoned for that.
Mate, he fucking just...
Yeah. And we have
exercising little... when a few days away from being hung.
Oh.
And you just sit there, just fucking getting shredded. Yeah. Put him in the hole.
Yes, sir. We're feeding him once a week, like you said. Ah, he'll be gnawing at his own chains.
Motherfuckers just getting...
Fucking doing work.
Getting swole. Yeah.
So we have Beam... Essentially do a prison break for him.
Yeah. Which is cool. Chucks the motherfucker up on his shoulders.
Yeah, because his like knees are fucked. They've beaten his knees.
They beat his knees. Yeah. And when he landed, I think he also dislocated them.
Yeah.
Beam chucks him up on his shoulders. They tuck his legs behind him. They're four men in this shit. He picks guys up, throws them in the air. Yeah. Oh.
We have Ram on a piggyback ride with two rifles in each hand.
So fucking cool. These are
also the rifles when Ram used as a kid, pretty much dislocated his shoulder from the kick. And now he's got
I love the John Woo shit about this where...
Oh, yeah. It's definitely Gun Carter.
They are bolt action rifles.
Yeah.
Okay, they are M1 Garands or something similar. So you fire, you pull back the bolt, you push the bolt back to reload new bullet. Doesn't do it automatically. No gas
lever action.
This motherfucker, they only hold about 5 bullets. Each gun had at least 15 in it.
Oh, yeah. And again, these rifles, you have to lever action every bullet to chamber a new bullet. This guy is going bang, 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 and then holding it down for Beam to like
to
lever
do it.
Action.
I shot 5 bullets. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to show. It's a cool scene when he does that.
Oh, it's a cool scene.
But when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's some John Woo shit right
there. Oh, fucking earth.
Your bullets don't end.
Yeah, that's Matrix shit. They're playing with the code.
Oh, but I don't feel like it took away from the story.
At this point, man.
It's one of those things. Just look past it.
At this point, it's been happening for the past 2 hours, and you're just kind of like, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
just
it's
look
part
past
of the movie.
It.
That's just the world this movie operates
in. If it went bang, new scene, you could go, oh yeah, he's doing it between scenes. But there was like several times where he's like, bang, and then behind him, then up above him, and then, you know, one gun this way.
Does
the little backflip thing, like jumps over onto the pole, does a backflip, kills two guys, and then they land.
It's superhero landing. Another suspension of disbelief in this movie is British soldiers die from being lightly tapped in the chest with the butt of a rifle.
Yeah.
That's another
thing.
They're dead.
They didn't see the sun much.
That's true. Yeah. It's fucking blue bloods.
Yeah. They didn't see the sun.
That's how fragile we are.
I got a little funny story. My pop mate used to make a joke. I asked him many, many, many years ago. I was like, oh, you know, you moved from Scotland. You know, do you like Australia? He's like, yeah, I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I was like, oh, cool. He's like, there were a few things in Australia that you guys have that we didn't have there. I was like, what's that? He's like, showers. Where I lived, we didn't have showers. I didn't shower until I moved to Australia, which is partly true. They used baths, but not showers.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he's like, also, I had no idea there was a thing called a sun. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, did you know the sky is not actually gray?
No.
It's blue. And there's this great orange orb in the sky called the sun. You would know because you were born here. But when I moved here at 18, I had no idea. We came over on a boat. I saw it for the first time and I was like, ah, it burns. I'm like, okay. Obviously he's, but that's what they are. They're British people and they didn't see the sun.
That's true.
They got over to India like, oh, fuck this heat. Oh, it's a swamp up here.
And this leads perfectly into my next fucking, my next point. In this fight sequence, we have Beam pick up a motorcycle and use it as a fucking club. Yeah.
So after they escape the prison, they go into like a jungle area between in the barracks between the prison and the city. And a bunch of Spec Ops guys come. Yeah. But before that, Beam dresses Ram up as a deity. Who Ram is...
I think it was meant to be like coincidence. Like like Ram didn't have clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he pretty much took a bunch of the ornamental cloths around and tied him a...
But in the song, they sing that Ram is the descendant of that, of the fire god.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, yeah, cool. That's nice. You know, Spec Ops guys, Beam is sitting there drinking water, refreshing, getting ready to, you know, continue on. Because
he is water.
Yeah. And then you just see this arrow. As he's drinking, arrow goes straight past, hit a Spec Ops dude. And then just a fucking fantastical fight of arrows flying everywhere. Cool. Beam hiding in water. Cool. Beam grabs two guys and fucking strangles them underwater.
Yeah. This guy never runs out of arrows, too.
No. Mate, he's fucking good.
Yeah. He's cool. Also,
he's got that crafting cue on while shooting.
So, you know, but everyone else doesn't, that I have done a fair amount of archery. Done a little bit of competitions here and there. Now, this...
thought those bows were for show.
This bow and arrows that he finds are essentially part of a statue for a deity. In the jungle... in the heat.
Very clean.
Completely strong.
That bow looks brand new.
Mm-hmm. He'd pull his first arrow back and snap the string.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, you reckon?
Absolutely. So, like, this whole sequence, I was like, huh, that bow's still going, huh? Like, still working fine.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Yeah, termites aren't a thing in the
forest. No. Because, like I said, it looked brand new. Someone goes out there regularly and relacks it up, takes
also,
care of it, changes
if you,
the string.
If you make a statue, completely aesthetic purposes, do you put a real bow and arrow in there?
No!
Yeah, you just make that part of the statue.
Or, if you are going to do it, you just get some, like, cheap materials or something.
Yeah. So that, you know, people don't... like, usually what they'll do with display bows for that purpose, like if it is part of a thing, is it just won't have a string.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that this whole sequence was a little bit hard for me.
It's fun though, but in that sequence where they're fighting people, the front tire gets hit. Or something like that, and it does like a flip over him, and then while the bike is in mid fucking air, he grabs a front wheel and beats him with the bike. You would have been so mad you beat a motherfucker with a bike.
Picked up a fucking motorcycle and beat someone with it. Oh my god.
Okay, so for those that don't ride, different motorcycles have different weights. Sport bikes tend to be lighter than cruisers, all that stuff. Cruisers are the heavier fucking bikes.
Yes, this is a military cruiser.
My first thought, okay, you're going on about the fucking bow going, how the fuck is that thing still going? Why does he have unlimited arrows? He picks up that bike and I go, all right, cool, momentum, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's great. This would have been before they decided to make the engine part of the structure. So it would have been at least 400 kilos or more. And he just swings it around like it's a base.
He's a beefy boy.
He's just like, yep, whatever. Beat a motherfucker with a bike. And then he rides a different bike. He rides the...
Yeah,
what
he stops
looks like
another
the,
bike. Yeah.
It looks like the bike that he fixes at the start. It's got Indian on it and whatnot. Because I go, oh, of course they're riding Harleys because, you know, they were very popular. And then I see Indian, I'm like, they're British, that's right. Yeah, of course they're British. Riding Indians.
Yeah. So that leads me into my next fucking point.
Oh, God.
All Americans turn off now. So... They set up this plan where Beam is going to ride up a ramp, throw the bike into the British capital, Ram is going to shoot a Fleming arrow at the tank, make it explode. It crashes in through a window and lands into their stockpile of TNT.
I just want to, just before we get to there, I want to say that the British guy, the big bad evil guy.
Yeah.
Badass moment. They preface that the bike is going to hit him.
Oh,
Everyone starts to move back. His missus starts to move back.
He's standing there about to take it.
I got this.
And then
I'm going to catch it.
It drops to the lower floor into the TNT section. And I just wrote, holy shit, they caused a 9/11.
They fucked that building up.
Yeah. Like, did they know that TNT was there first?
Yes. That's the barracks. That's like the armory.
Yeah, but that specific, like...
Probably not.
What if it was on the other side of the building?
Like, unless he knew that that's where they kept everything. Because special
forces. But, yeah.
One issue I had with that...
Jeff Field doesn't melt steel beams. I was waiting for that. I had that in the barrel.
So, there are TNT and stuff. Yes, it blows up with explosions. Like, yep. It is a chain reaction sort of thing. That's why you can just put it on one and go all across. But they had grenades in there as well, which would have gone off shortly later.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been bang, 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 bang like it did. It would have been like 1, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 2, 2. It would have just been left, right,
oh,
left,
yeah,
right,
it would have
right,
been right, like left, a fireworks display.
All over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place. You would have had your first maybe 2, 3 to 5, you know, original explosions and then more going off. Yeah. Not just one
lot. But it's all, it all explodes at once and levels the building.
Oh, to the floor.
Yeah.
And then Beam fucking rocks up to, Ram, who's kind of ish fighting the big bad evil guy, and just throws down these big ass fucking, just a shit ton of guns, just dragging.
Oh, yeah, dragging. Yeah. Two fucking, so many Herculean guns. Feet of guns.
Yeah, and then, you know, they shake hands. Big bad evil guy, you know, picks up his gun, goes to load a bullet.
Oh, the price of an English bullet.
Do you know how much this bullet costs? It was made in a British factory. At full pay. Came across the sea on a British boat.
Yes.
By time it reached your gun, it cost 6 shilling and then £1.
Yeah, £1 sterling.
Sterling.
Yeah, this is a running theme because this guy's a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Anytime a Indian needs to be executed,
find another way, soldier.
Find another way, soldier.
Why would you? Use
a
bullet, man. Save your energy. Yeah, they're really cheap.
But then we get Ram's point of view. What's the price of this bullet?
Yeah.
Freedom. And then hands it to Beam, and we get the three words that I loved most in this movie.
Oh, fuck. Gave me chills at that last scene.
Load. Aim. Shoot. I loved it. Every time they brought them up, I...
At first, chills. I was like, all right, fair enough. And then right at the end where it, like, comes back. And even when he was...
ties everything together.
Yeah, even when he was, like, chained up and he says it.
Mm.
Or he says, load, aim, shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I was waiting for that dude to get shot in the fucking head.
Fucking oath, eh?
I'm like, this is it. This is the end. No, it's not. I still have, like, an hour left.
Yeah. And then the last point I have... is I forgot every Indian movie ends in a fucking song.
Good song, though.
Good song. I think, what, the three big songs in this movie, I think there's only three.
I think so.
Barring, like, the lullaby that they sing.
I think there's only three dance songs.
Yeah, like, big show songs. And each of these lasts for, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
They're all fucking bangers.
They slap.
They're fucking good songs.
And the dancing in it?
Yeah. Like, what was a little bit jarring for me, and I don't know if you... Did you watch the full entirety of the song? Because we get... In the ending song, we get,
they go through all the revolutionary groups throughout time.
Yeah. Well, in India.
Yeah, of course. I meant
everywhere. I'm like,
sorry. Oh. Yeah, no. Specifically in the Indian region. They mentioned, like, tons. And they even preface it with, like, what they were kind of known for. So, like, one known for their guns, one known for their swords, kind of like the way they would portray themselves. Yeah. It's...
I do like how this song gets cut up a little bit. We have Ram going back to his people with the weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final goodbye between Ram and Beam. And Beam just goes, I think Ram says, I can't thank you enough. You saved my life. What can I do? And Beam just says, you can teach me, brother. He goes, the revolution. Yes. Fucking awesome. And what kind of stuck out like a sore thumb to me, but I think she was dancing pretty well, is the British actress is in that final song.
Yeah.
And pulling off those moves.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a single white person pull off.
At the start, it has Bheem and Ram and Ram's fiance.
Yeah.
Towards the start, and they're fucking slaying it.
Oh, fucking killing the dance floor.
Oh, if someone said to me, you need to learn how to dance, I'm going to an Indian person being like, teach me how
fucking
to dance.
Fucking oath.
I worked with an Indian dude, okay, at the pizza place in Woodbine.
Mm.
We used to slap music on when we closed at 10:30. This motherfucker would get out there on the floor, and he would just tear that shit up.
Good.
He had, and I was like,
that's people living life to the fullest.
I was like, I said to him one time, I was like, where'd you learn how to dance? He's like, it's just feeling. A lot of people just dance with one part of their body. Where I'm from, we dance with all of it.
He was sick too.
He was sick. Sick? Sick?
Sick.
Sick?
I think.
But he had the bangle.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
I can't dance for shit.
Neither can I. Well, why?
I can't. Yeah.
You saw my wedding.
Hey, that was nice. You and Tamara danced to What I See Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very cute. Very cute. Okay, we're 50 minutes in.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, that's all right. I expected this to go for an hour and a half.
We still have a bit to go, my friend.
Oh, shit.
So, we have RRR, Rise, Roar, Revolt. What do you think the critic score for this movie was?
Oh, I'm hoping it's fucking good. I'm going to say 87.
87?
Yeah.
And you think that's good? Step up your game, son. It's 91%.
Fuck yeah!
Certified fresh. Ugh! Certified fresh. Audience, what do you reckon?
Let's go 91. I reckon audience might have been a little harsher.
Step up your game. It is 94%. This is a fucking fantastic movie.
I'm shocked the critics liked it, but they could have been like from India, if you know what I mean. Like journalists from India watching it, like particularly that culture.
Yeah.
And it might have gotten them, not just two white guys on the internet.
So this is the first movie I've seen that has a critic consensus and an audience says. The critic consensus for RRR is intoxicatingly over the top. RRR pulls out all the stops to make the absolute most of its 187-minute runtime. Fuck, I got there eventually. I think I had a stroke.
Yeah, no, it does.
Do you smell burning toast?
It really does. Like
absolutely.
They had fucking movies put chocks under the wheels and they say, all right, now pull them out a little bit. All right, roll back up. These motherfuckers are like, what are chocks?
Yeah, nah. Let's fucking.
What's a plug? Let's
floor this motherfucker.
The train's moving. How do I stop it? Save the little boy. Swing from each side.
This seriously is it's intense.
It's good.
It's good. For a 3-hour movie, I don't think I can ever say I've watched a 3-hour movie and liked it.
No.
There's all 3-hour movies, like, they drag on for fucking ever.
I will say this did drag on, but at points, you're like, all right, we're in a lull now. You can you cannot beat that last scene I just came from.
Yeah, and then they do.
Yeah, they do.
I think it only drags on for like 5 minutes at a time and only at 2 and 3 points.
Yeah.
So for a 3-hour movie, 10 minutes of drag time over two splits.
After I watched the movie, I jumped online, I spoke to some boys on Discord and I told them I went and watched the movie and whatnot. And they're like, oh, you know, what was the movie? I was like, and they're like, oh, is it good? I was like, yeah, it is. But
it's 3 hours.
Yeah, I said to him, it's 3 hours. Now, I'm gonna recommend this. Go watch the movie, but plan your time better than we did.
Fucking oath.
And that's exactly what I said to my mates. I said to him,
yeah,
it's 3 hours. If you have 3 hours of time where you have nothing to do, it's either video games or a movie, and you want to watch a good movie, pick this movie.
Yeah,
this is a good movie. But I'm not going to say, hey, you should go watch this movie right now. It's 3 hours fucking long.
Which will be my rating towards the end. Just to wrap this up, the audience says, top-notch singing and dancing combined with a terrific story make RRR a 3-hour feast of entertainment.
Yes.
Yes.
Feast of entertainment.
Now, I have found a rotten review.
Okay, hit me.
This is Roger Moore.
You're an idiot,
from
Roger.
Movie Nation. And I'm only looking at the blurbs when I do this, so I'm not going to read the full review because I'm sure it's 10 pages long. This is a rotten review. The fourth R in this title might have been repetitive, as this popcorn or its Indian equivalent action picture runs out of gas an hour before it runs out of movie. So I'm going to
bet he likes Marvel movies though.
I am going to put something to our audience. We find this man.
I know a guy. I'm on
it. We sit him down and we make him watch this movie again.
Yeah.
That's Rotten Tomatoes.
He's not wrong, but he's definitely not right.
No.
It doesn't run out of movie. It doesn't run out of steam. It just keeps chugging on at the same pace.
Yeah, it's a good steady pace throughout. Yeah. And
I just think he's looking for a fight.
Yeah.
He's definitely looking for a fight.
IMDb score. 10 what out do you 10. Think?
No one's going to give it a 10 out of 10. I'm going to say
9.7.
8.0. Ooh.
Solid 8.
They're a bit more... We have discussed. Yeah. They're a bit more harsh.
They are much... Much harsher. Now, this was nominated for an award as well.
Ooh.
The Hollywood Critics Association Mid-Season Awards nominated it for Best Picture.
Out of every nomination.
Mid-Season Awards, Best Picture. That's...
It's good. It's good.
It didn't win, but...
Nomination's good enough.
Absolutely.
Just to be considered.
Just recognized is... I think for me would be absolutely amazing. But that's our, official reviews.
Yeah.
What's your personal score out of this? Out of 10, 0.5's included.
Like I said, I want people to go watch this movie.
Yeah.
But it's 3 hours long and that can be deterring. And as you've mentioned, 5's average, watch it on your time. Any lower than that, you wouldn't really recommend it. It's higher, go watch it.
The degrees of recommendation above or below a 5.
I want to say an 8. I want to.
Okay.
But it's 3 hours long.
I respect your decision. I cannot agree with it.
I'm going to go a 7.5 just because of the 3 hours. Just because... Only the 3 hours.
That's fine.
You need... This is a movie you need to set times aside for.
Yeah, absolutely. And to people listening to this podcast that haven't seen this movie, go watch it.
Yeah.
This movie is catered to us. People that like to review things, talk about them, experience something. However, my rating scales are not for people like us. This is personally, in my life, would I recommend it? And if it's a below a 5, it's the degrees of I wouldn't recommend it. Or I'd only recommend it to select people. 5 is average. Above 5 is how much I would recommend it. If it's a 10 out of 10, I'm screaming it from the rooftops. I'm telling everybody I know to watch this movie.
Holding cunts up at knife point. We're like, you better fucking watch this movie, cunt.
Mate, I'll just give
them
a Sydney
special. Have you seen Coco Melon?
Sydney special. Make them watch it.
In their dreams.
Yeah. I have to give this movie a 5.5.
Yeah? So... It's because of 3 hours.
Yes and no.
No?
Yes and no.
Why else?
So it's... Yes, it's a long movie and that's a lot of it. But it's also not... As much as I like this movie, I don't think it brings anything new to the table.
Yeah, I can say that.
It's... I recognize what this movie is trying to tell you. And tell the story of.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I just think in this day and age, in 2022, we have so much of it.
Yeah.
We...
Outside of a fun movie, it's just another movie.
It's a very, very fun movie. Outside of that, it's an average movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it brings anything new to the table with its storytelling or direction style.
I can agree with that, yeah.
If you're a VFX artist and are interested in that, easy. 8 out of 10. Go watch it. If you love different cultures movies, 8 out of 10, go watch it. If the time does not concern you, 8 out of 10, go watch it. But for everyone else in the general public, I think it's a little bit much to ask.
Yeah. Send the kids off to the grandparents, sit down for 3 hours.
Unfortunately, that means, Josh, this doesn't make the cut.
That's a hate crime, you know that, right?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be strict. I'm trying to be strict in how I review.
No,
these
I do
movies.
Agree with you because for me, I was going to say the same thing.
I want this podcast to be a recommendation platform.
Yeah.
So of course, if all of those things that I said, if this movie interests you, go watch it.
No, I do agree with you. I was thinking on last night on the way over. It kind of doesn't make the cut.
Yeah.
For me, it's because we're gonna be busy society these days.
Damn straight. Look at TikTok.
Yeah.
And the boom of TikTok. 10-second videos are what get our attention.
If you go to a cinema, you got 2 hours, 2.5 hours, maybe with credits.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't just that's your time.
Exactly. Is your time worth this?
Yeah. And I watch most of my movies. Sure, I finish at like 1:30 most days at work. I get home by 2:30, depending on how long I want to take to get home.
Yeah, whereas I finish at 4 and get home at 5.
Yeah, so...
And I start at 6, so I've got a massive day and I've only got a couple of hours in the afternoon.
And that's the thing, like, now I'm actually rethinking my number. Fuck, I did not think about all those variables.
No, you're more than happy to keep a different rating system.
I do agree. It doesn't make the cut because most people watch their movies of a night or an afternoon or a weekend.
Yeah.
I like to keep a busy weekend.
This is not a cuddle on the couch with your missus watch.
No. It is not.
Yeah.
It is not. It's, if you want to go watch it, watch it.
Absolutely.
We're not saying don't. Yeah, yeah. Just because it doesn't make the cut, it doesn't mean don't watch it.
This is a bad position to be in because I want to say it makes the cut. Yeah. I want to say for all these reasons that it's a good movie, but I can't put it on the golden record and shoot it into space.
No, yes. If that's what we're going with, we're going to share this with extraterrestrials, put it on the golden record. No.
No.
It won't fit on the record.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do agree with you. I just want every episode of this with the ones that do make the cut and don't make the cut. We're not saying don't go watch the ones that don't make the cut.
Absolutely.
We're just saying, especially with the ones where they're fighting each other with the deathmatch layout. We're not saying the one that doesn't make the cut is a bad... Well, we are. But we're not saying it's not worth the watch. We're just saying, of those two, which one is the better one?
I hope that everyone listening to this... If you disagree with us...
Tell us.
Go watch the movie. Tell us.
Yeah.
You're allowed your opinion. It's a
You're wrong, but tell us.
It's a completely valid opinion. Everyone has their own, and we're just giving ours. And
DM me on Instagram. Oh, look, Ninja Cake. Do it.
And I think we're putting up walls and defending ourselves so hard because we do like this movie, but we have to rationalize it with a...
I just started this fucking thing at 9:30 at night, bitched to you about being 3 hours long, was gonna just be like, no, fuck it, let's go for a 1-hour, 2-hour movie. Mm. Bit the bullet, watched it, stayed awake for all of it except for the fucking lullaby because it was that good of a song that put me to sleep.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it doesn't make the golden record. It doesn't make the cut. I'm sorry. Don't fight me on this, please. If you do dance battle?
Yeah, dance off. You have to dance off.
All right, that's it. If you want it to make a cut,
you
got to challenge me to a dance battle.
Yeah. Which we've already covered. You will win.
Anything more than a wriggly worm will beat me.
Pretty much. Okay, so I think at 59 minutes...
That's a good ep.
This has been What Makes the Cut. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh.
And if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at What Makes the Cut. And Josh has already given you his Instagram.
Look, Ninja Cake.
Find a guy on
a phone. This picture of me on the phone wearing a green jacket and a beanie.
Yeah. And I don't use Instagram. 16. My God.
I still have a picture of when I was 16.
I don't use Instagram and I barely use Twitter for this podcast. I am trying to get into social media. But...
Hit us up.
Do you want to know what we're watching next week, Josh?
Do it. Tell me. I'm excited.
It's my pick.
Yep.
The Black Phone. I told you about it last night. That was my pick. That's why I gave it to you as a suggestion for a mulligan.
It is black.
He's got a black Google Pixel. Yes, The Black Phone. It's a horror, suspense, yep. thriller movie. I only saw the trailer when, like, when it was releasing. I think it has some supernatural stuff in there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any reviews or anything, and I want to go into blind.
Like I do every week.
Exactly. So, The Black Phone, I think it released this year, 2022. So,
let's do it.
That's what we're doing. At What Makes the Cut on Twitter?
I look Ninja Cake on Instagram.
We've been What Makes the Cut.
Bye-bye.